Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where you read the scriptures and reflect on them with those from the past. Today, we're reading John 10, verses 19 to 30, and then through J.C. Rowe's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 10, verses 19 to 30. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon and is insane. Why had listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus is walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. We should notice first in this passage what strifes and controversies our Lord occasioned when he was on earth. We read that there was a division among Jews because of his sayings, and that many of them said he had a demon and was mad, while others took an opposite view. It may seem strange at first sight that he who came to preach peace between God and humanity should be the cause of contention. But here his own words were literally fulfilled, "I do not come to bring peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:34. The fault was not in Christ or his doctrine, but in the unspiritual mind of his Jewish hearers. Let us never be surprised if we see the same thing in our own day. Human nature never changes. So long as someone's heart is without grace, so long we must expect to see it dislike the gospel of Christ. Just as oil and water cannot mix, so in the same way unconverted people cannot really like the people of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, Romans 8:7 and 1 Corinthians 2:14. The servants of Christ must think it no strange thing if they go through the same experience as their master. They will often find their ways and opinions in faith the cause of strife in their own families. They will have to endure ridicule, hard words, and petty persecution from the children of this world. They may even discover that they are thought foolish or mad on account of their Christianity. Let none of these things move them. The thought that they are taking part in afflictions of Christ ought to steel them against every trial. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Matthew 10:25. One thing should never be forgotten. We must not allow ourselves to think the worse of Christian faith because of the strifes and dissensions to which it gives rise. Whatever people may please to say, it is human nature and not Christianity which is to blame. We do not blame the glorious sun because its warmth brings a smell from something foul. We must not find fault with the glorious gospel if it stirs up people's corruptions and causes the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed. Luke 2:35. We should notice, secondly, the name which Christ gives to true Christians. He uses a figurative expression which, like all his language, is full of deep meaning. He calls them "my sheep." The word "sheep" no doubt points to something in the character and ways of true Christians. It would be easy to show that weakness, helplessness, harmlessness, usefulness are all points of resemblance between the sheep and the believer. But the leading idea in our Lord's mind was the entire dependence of the sheep upon its shepherd. Just as sheep hear the voice of their own shepherd and follow him, so do believers follow Christ. By faith they listen to his call. By faith they submit themselves to his guidance. By faith they lean on him and commit their souls implicitly to his direction. The ways of a shepherd and his sheep are a most useful illustration of the relation between Christ and the true Christian. The expression "my sheep" points to the close connection that exists between Christ and believers. They are his by gift from the Father, his by purchase, his by calling and choice, and his by their own consent and heart submission. In the highest sense, they are Christ's property, and just as a person feels a special interest in that which they have bought at a great price and made their own, so does the Lord Jesus feel a special interest in his people. Expressions like these should be carefully treasured up in the memories of true Christians. They will be found cheering and heart-strengthening in days of trial. A world may see no beauty in the ways of a godly person and may often pour contempt on them, but the one who knows that they are one of Christ's sheep has no cause to be ashamed. They have within them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. We should notice lastly in this passage the vast privileges which the Lord Jesus Christ bestows on true Christians. He uses words about them of singular richness and strength. I know them. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand. This sentence is like a cluster of grapes which came from Eshcol, Numbers 13:23. A stronger form of speech can hardly be found in the whole range of the Bible. Christ knows his people with a special knowledge of approval, interest, and affection. By the world around them, they are comparatively unknown, uncared for, or despised, but they are never forgotten or overlooked by Christ. Christ gives his special people eternal life. He bestows on them freely a right and title to heaven, pardoning their many sins and clothing them with a perfect righteousness. Money, health, and worldly prosperity he often wisely withholds from them, but he never fails to give them grace, peace, and glory. Christ declares that his people shall never perish. Weak as they are, they will all be saved. Not one of them will be lost and cast away. Not one of them will miss heaven. If they err, they'll be brought back. If they fall, they will be raised. The enemies of their souls may be strong and mighty, but their Savior is mightier, and none shall snatch them out of their Savior's hand. A promise like this deserves the closest attention. If words mean anything, it contains that great doctrine of perseverance or continuance in grace of true believers. That doctrine is literally hated by worldly people. No doubt, like every other truth of Scripture, it is liable to be abused. But the words of Christ are too plain to be evaded. He has said it, and he will make it good. My sheep shall never perish. Whatever people may please to say against this doctrine, it is one which God's children ought to hold fast and defend with all their might. To all who feel within them the workings of the Holy Spirit is a doctrine full of encouragement and consolation. Once inside the ark, they will never be cast out. Once converted and joined to Christ, they will never be cut off from his mystical body. Hypocrites and false professors will doubtless make shipwreck forever unless they repent. But true sheep will never be confounded. Christ has said it, and Christ cannot lie. They shall never perish. Would we get the benefit of this glorious promise? Let us take care that we belong to Christ's flock. Let us hear his voice and follow him. The one who, under a real sense of sin, flees to Christ and trusts in him is one who shall never be snatched out of Christ's hand. That is the end of Ryle's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today, and may the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for his glory. In considering what we've just heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, we learn that Christianity brings strife, and that the problem is not with Christianity, but with human nature. Just like we don't blame the sun for being warm and bringing foul smell from a rotting corpse, so the gospel is not to blame for contention and hatred from which human nature often responds to it. Are we surprised when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Second, Jesus calls his followers sheep, which Ryle points out give rise to many connections, namely that sheep are weak, helpless, harmless, and useful. Yet the main idea is that of dependence upon the shepherd. Amazingly, the other thing we need to see is that we are called his sheep, and those who have found a special interest in the shepherd. What do these rich truths do to our hearts? And lastly, Christ says that he knows his sheep, he gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus will never lose one of his sheep, and that they will persevere in this life by God's grace. Do these truths give you strength and encouragement to press on? How will you worship the Lord with the things on your mind even now?